That's the Rubicon.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. Sage, 0% financing for 72 months, plus up to $20,000 off MSRP. The Memorial Day sale at Bill Curry Ford is in full swing, but it is winding down. It only goes till the end of the month, and kick off summer with a great deal like that. So many vehicles apply to this. View the inventory at BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, Curry. And that's the home of GM Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He is the big boss down there at the Giant, which is the biggest dealership in the United States. Go see it. A mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. You can reach out to Sean. You can ask for the Ira Kaufman discount, the Joe Bucks fan discount, and just for some good, honest assistance. Maybe you need body work, service, whatever it is, BillCurryFord.com. And Sean is our draft guru. He has his Best in Class podcast, and you can find that at Joe Bucks Fan and Apple Podcasts. Here's Sean's full breakdown after watching the film on the guys, Ira, digging a little deeper on the actual picks, and he gets into the undrafted free agents for those who like that kind of stuff. It's all there at the latest Best in Class podcast. Sage, how are you? Before we keep going, how are you feeling? You're a couple of weeks out of surgery. We were all pumped up for you and what a tough guy you are. And then out of the blue, we learned that Todd Bowles had his knee replaced and he's out there coaching football while you're, watching The Price is Right.
Well, I texted Coach Bowles the other day and said, in 1 month, we eat a mandatory mini camp and we run the 40-yard dash, and let's see what happens. I got to be out of my mind to think I could beat a former athlete in a 10-yard race. But I'm feeling Brooklyn strong, gentlemen. Brooklyn strong. Tomorrow is 10 days in from the hip replacement. I feel very steady on my feet, Lee. I got the house. I'm doing the laundry. I'm doing the cooking. Got the sink. Took the dishes. I got everything going. Now the only problem is that when the therapist came in the other day, she says, "Oh, your left foot looks a little swollen. You've been wearing those socks?" And I said, "Nah, not the last couple of days." Boy, she chewed my ass out, Lee. "You gotta wear those compression socks." I said, "Well, they go up to the knee. What am I, 100 years old?" That's the classic, Florida old man going in there with the slip-on shoes and the compression socks.
Slip-on shoes, yeah.
Yeah, and she goes, "You got to wear them. You got to wear them for blood clot precautions and whatever." So next week I'm going back to the surgeon's office, check me out, take my patch off, and I'm doing well, Lee. She thinks I'm doing very well. I'm glad I had it done, Lee. I'm glad it's behind me. I didn't know Bowles was having a knee replacement. I didn't know his knees were bothering him. But this hip thing was a long time coming. Isbitz told me I got to get it taken care of. He doesn't want me limping around during training camp. So, Lee, my plans are you will see me at mandatory minicamp at One Buck Place. I will make my return. Maybe we'll go out for a little lunch. And I'm looking forward to it.
Glad you're bouncing back.
Yeah,
you'll be on the tennis court.
Ira, you know what might be a good look is if you just got the compression arm sleeves and wore them out to training camp. Nice look for you. You go with the
That's outstanding, Steve. Hey, so speaking of training camp, I was thinking about this the other day. Lee, what do you think?
Well, wait a minute. Sage, you're talking about doing all these chores at home. We know you're going to screw up at some point and have a flood in that kitchen. And that's when you have to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. Right now, Ira, that you've got mold under that sink because you've got a leak and you haven't bent down that far in years.
I got Josh's number up on my refrigerator, Steve. I'm all set.
All right.
You won't get a hold of him.
Well, hey.
He's in Thailand. He's sleeping with tigers. I'm not joking.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I saw his Instagram pictures. He was in a tiger cage. He was laying down with a tiger.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway, Florida's Elite Restoration, and that's Josh Martin, owner of Florida's Elite Restoration. They go 24/7. Josh, I promise you, is not the only one at the company. They got a great team over there, combined 25-plus years of experience. on the insurance side of the industry. So they know how to make sure you don't get ripped off. They know all about the corruption with these insurance giants, and they're going to restore your property. But more important, they will come out and give you a full evaluation, a full complete estimate free. And when you first call them, tell them you heard about it from Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan. And if you need their services after the free estimate, whether it's mold, fire, flood, storm damage, then you'll get $500 back if you go forward with their services on the restoration. And maybe that's money for a deductible or just cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Ira, tell me about training camp. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, Lee, I was thinking post-Brady, we knew last year there weren't going to be a lot of national people, and there weren't. You know, we know Jim Miller and our boy Pat Kerwin are going to show up. I don't think Peter King came, Lee, last year. I don't believe he did.
No.
And now he's retired. So, yeah, you look at Atlanta. They got Cousins. They got Penix. That's intrigue. That's clicks. I'm expecting the same disrespect, in the words of Jason Light, the witness protection program. I think we're going to get the same thing. And you know what? Lee, who cares? Who cares that the Nationals don't come down? You know, Judy Batista, she's not there. I don't care.
I've never seen her at $1, I don't think.
Prickly Pete usually comes. Prickly
Pete. But he only has to drive about 3-4 hours.
Yeah, so, Steve, I still think this team's very much under the radar. Steve, until they win 10, 11, 12 games, I think that's going to be the way it is.
Ira, I got one for you here. So to back up what you're saying about, you know, the Bucks are flying under the radar, if people are frustrated and not knowing why the Bucks, hey, this is the team that they're going for, a four-peat division title.
That's right.
And they got to the NFC Championship. Why are people ignoring them? This is it right here. I wouldn't be able to pick this guy out of a lineup because I just don't. The NBA is totally off my radar, as is golf. I haven't watched it in probably 30 years. But at any rate, to give you an idea how far NBA and golf are off my radar, this dude that got arrested, I never heard of him before, this golfer last week.
Yeah.
And apparently
yeah.
He's number one golfer in the world. Never heard of him. You know, when someone says, name a golf person, I can think of Paulina Gretzky. At any rate, with ESPN, it's Tim Legler. He could walk into my living room, I wouldn't know who he is. But I read an article where he spilled the beans on ESPN. Apparently, there's some controversy that ESPN is covering the Knicks like they're the ultimate team, you know?
That's right.
And the Pacers are barely a blip. And again, I wouldn't know this because I don't pay attention to that. This Legler did a podcast this week and said, yeah, I went to the producers to get more coverage for the Pacers, and I was told they're not sexy enough.
I like Legler, Lee, and I'm glad you mentioned it because I am going to digress for about a minute and a half. Steve, are you ready?
I'm ready. I thought you were going to say you hear that you're not sexy enough all the time, but go ahead.
Well, especially with the compression socks. But guys, what I'm about to tell you is true. Now, it's not Buck related, so I'm only going to take 90 seconds. All right. Now, look, on Twitter, I don't tweet a lot. I don't. I'll repost something. I'll repost my columns. I'll repost some of your guys' stuff. So, Lee, this is what's going on. I'm at the house Sunday, and I'm looking forward to Game 7 Knicks-Pacers. And I don't have a dog in the hunt. I don't care. I'm a 76ers fan. They've been eliminated. But I want to watch a Game 7 in Madison Square Garden. I got the TV on. It's about 1:30, 2 hours before the game. And I go on Twitter, Lee, and this is what I see. From the ESPN Twitter account, a 45-second video of Stephen A. Smith entering Madison Square Garden. Stephen A. has arrived, and has an ESPN camera crew following him through the bowels of the arena as he walked through the press gate onto the garden floor. And I'm watching this. And
I'm doing walking into the game, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a slow burn. Because, you know, Steve, I'm already saying we got too much. There's too much Charles Barkley on TV. Too much. And I feel the same way about Smith. It's too much. And he's become the story, Lee. He's become the story. So I'm sitting there and I said, do I really want to tweet something about this? I said, I have to. You know, I've been in this business for too long. I have to. So, Lee, this is what I put out under my name It was only four words. Four words. This passes for news? Question mark. This, and, you know, because it was a reply, it also went out to Stephen A. Smith and ESPN. Now, I never heard from Smith. I never heard from ESPN, but Steve, I got about 10 or 15, you know, reposts. People liked it. This is not the man in the arena. Steve, have we gone that far in journalism? And I know Lee's going to say, Ira, he's not a journalist. He's an entertainer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't have the focus being on a guy from First Take being treated like he's the best player on the Knicks coming into the arena. I think we've passed the Rubicon, Lee.
Ira, that 90-second digression went about 3.5 minutes. I feel your pain, Ira, but it is entertainment. People do like the guy. You know, it's not like he's a villain or they were trying to make a statement, but I hear you.
You understand my point, right, Steve? You do understand my point.
Absolutely, Ira. So let me see if you understand my point, because I thought this was a rare Todd Bowles slip-up that I am pinning on maybe pain medication after his surgery. So he was sitting there talking about Vita Vea the other day, Ira. And what does he say? You know, he's talking about how excited he is, and they look for him with this weight loss to come back, quote, stronger and faster and quicker. But then he says, we've talked about it for a long time. He's finally taking it to heart, where he's really making the strides and changes. That was quite a backhanded, almost front-handed slap in the face to Vea, I thought.
Lee, it doesn't happen very often, but once in a while, Bowles drops a nugget like that in the middle of an answer. It doesn't happen very often. I got mixed feelings about this. I think Bears played well the last couple of years at 360. I don't know that I want him to go to 345. Maybe, Lee, maybe it would give him more snaps, you know, and that would be a net positive for Bowles' defense. I really don't have a problem, Lee, with the way V has been playing. You know, last 2 years he's had his most sack totals, if you want to go by that. I think he's played well. And considering 2 years ago there wasn't much next to him, and Cansey's still learning the ropes. But, Lee, we've talked about it. You know, his snap count isn't what it should be, to be honest. I'm not sure what Nagata's, you know, you remember the Nagata on the Ravens guy that I compare Vea to. I don't think he's as good as Nagata was. But they weighed about the same, Lee. He weighed about 360. And he was one hell of a run stuffer, Lee. He sure was. And I'm not sure what his snap counts were, Lee. But, you know, I guess the Bucks have been on his case. Hey, drop 10 or 15 pounds. I'm not going to argue with the Buck medical staff. But I don't have a big problem with the way Vea's been playing at 360, Lee.
I don't either. I don't, you know, Steve's really irritated about the number of snap counts. I think I hate to use the word beauty of Vea, but the thing about Vea is he's a big SOB. And if you take that away from him, yeah, I don't know if you have the same quality player. Here's feeling the onion skins back. This is the only thing I can think of outside of wanting to increase his snaps. And, you know, we'll be damned if he's a lesser player. We want more snaps. Until this is corrected, I'm going to be a little female dog about this, and I will not stop. So the people that don't like me whining about the edge rush, click pause or click fast forward. Here we go. I had talked myself in before the draft, right before the draft, I talked myself into, you know what, the Bucks need to get this Newton kid from Illinois.
Right.
Because they bring an edge rusher in, rookie edge rushers generally, and I emphasize the word generally, don't do anything their rookie year. The Bucks need production now. Because they have a two-year window, the way I look at it. Two-year window. They need production now. They don't need production maybe 2 years from now or maybe next year. They need it now. So I figured you bring this Newton in, you will not be able to block the Bucks front five with five players. You will not. And that would also allow the Bucks to do more of what Bowles did some last year. Maybe he did more previously. I just don't recall it offhand. But last year I do remember Vea coming off the edge, and the tackle could not handle it. It was like a man against a boy. Same with Kansas. He used Kansas coming off the edge. Kansas is so damn quick, he made it look good. You can mix things up if you have that many really good defensive tackles. So I'm a big believer in, you know, you got to get to the quarterback. You have to. And maybe they think by having Villa drop weight, they can use him off the edge more. I'm just guessing.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Steve. I guess it would enhance his mobility and his quickness. But, Steve, I think you do lose a little something in the process in terms of girth and holding the line of scrimmage.
Well, hey, Ira, I don't like you. Yeah. I don't like you podcasting below 210. Just so you know.
Coach Rapone told me to drop 20, so I'm holding out. But Steve, you got a problem with the way Vegas played at 360?
I don't have any problem with the way he's played. I just don't think he plays enough. But all I care about now, all that stuff's old news. All the film is out there. People can judge for themselves. I care about Bulls just coming out there and saying, we talked about it for a long time, and he's finally taking it to heart. It sounds like they've been bugging him for 3-4 years. Man, just lay off the junk food a little bit, and you'll be a little quicker, 10 pounds lighter, and you're still an absolute monster at 345. Like, you know, I mean, we're throwing numbers around, but I mean, a fierce Vita Vea at 6'4", 345, that's not exactly... I don't think he's losing an edge there too much. There are plenty of good run stuffers in the NFL who are 315. But I don't know. I just was really surprised to hear Bulls say that. And now I'm even extra excited because this wasn't just some whim thing. It's just Villa saying, you know what, I'm going to be 30 and my guaranteed money is up. And maybe this is the year to go leaner and see what happens.
You know, Lee, my first reaction is I don't think Bulls would say that kind of stuff if it wasn't a done deal, basically. Like, you know, this is going to happen. It's not like Vay is thinking about it. He signed off on it. Otherwise, I don't think Bulls would have talked about it. It's either happened or it's going to happen, and that's just the way it is. And I'm going to be very curious to see how it affects his effectiveness.
Ira, I got one other example, or I want your reaction to this. You know, you talk about the Bucks. In the Baker Mayfield era, the Bucks are overlooked and they're not, you know, they're yesterday's news. They're going to lose the division, et cetera, et cetera. Here's one for you. This came out this week. I think I can speak for Steve here. This is Exhibit A, why the PFF frauds have one of the biggest scams going. They portray themselves as this. They know more about football than any damn coach going around. They know everything. If they are the final authority, they are the sage of football, these guys at PFF. And one of their high priests, a guy by the name of Stan Monson, decided to rank all the NFL wide receivers. Now, you and I know that, and even Jason Light admitted it a couple weeks ago, that just recently, like in the past year, Mike Evans is finally getting his due, that he's one of the best receivers in football, that he's a Hall of Famer. And basically, Evans had to shame people with all their stats to, like, you know, to get to the point that, well, they couldn't ignore him anymore. They'd be complete idiots. But speaking of which, here are Sam Monson's rankings for wide receiver. Would you say Mike Evans is a top 10 receiver, Ira?
I think you could make a strong argument for that, yes.
Would you say he's a top 15 receiver?
Yes, definitely.
What would you think about somebody ranking him as the 20th wide receiver in the NFL? 20th.
I think that would be a website that I don't think I would pay much attention to, Lee.
They actually, this Sam Monson actually has Evans ranked 20th. Has him ranked behind Amari Cooper, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, who shot, Cooper Kupp, who I thought Cooper Kupp a couple years ago should have been the MVP of the league. But since his knee injury, he hasn't been the same. Cooper Kupp's number 9. But way down the list is Evans. Guy led the league in touchdowns last year. He's a 20th. Are you kidding me? I mean, what do you do? These guys have to be watching a different game. Either that or they're fantasy football guys. And
I feel your outrage. Yeah.
I mean, that's just beyond idiotic. Mike Evans, number 20, really?
And Lee, we're realistic. We're not saying he's better than Tyreek Hill. We're not saying that. Nobody's saying that.
But he sure as hell ain't number 20.
That's right.
Sage, some of this stuff, like we've talked about this before, but Jason Light continues to pound it. I think some of it's just nonsense for fun. Some of it's real, but some of it's nonsense. Like Lee mentioned, Mike Evans not getting his due until the last couple of years. I don't know. I guess I live in an alternate universe. I know Jason Light would agree with Lee because Light said it. But before Tom Brady arrived, Mike Evans, he made 3 Pro Bowls. He was a fantasy football darling for a couple of years, for sure. He, you know, was a well-known guy, having been Johnny Manziel's guy coming out of college. And he used to do Rich Eisen's show regularly. He pulled back on media. He used to do Michael Rappaport's very popular podcast. He pulled that back from that. But he was a well-respected guy by his peers. He was always in the NFL 100. So all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe that Mike Evans didn't get his due until Tom Brady showed up. I don't believe any of that. And of course, you know, he's all these Bucks now who claim that they, you know, don't get their due. They've all been on national television for years now. Tons of games. You look at national games since the Tom Brady era, the Bucks are right up there, including playoffs. And, you know, even Antoine Winfield, you know, you got people don't seem to be arguing that he is a great safety. Somebody watched all these games last year. He made all pro. It's like some of it I feel is just they want this underdog mentality to the extreme. I know they're not getting picked to be very successful with the players themselves. They've gotten a ton of exposure. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I buy into all of it.
It's a little manufactured, Lee, at this point. It's a little manufactured now.
But I tend to agree with Light more than Steve. I mean, maybe because I sit on social media all day, but I can't tell you how many times. Look, the top wide receivers, you never. Up until recently, and not even so much recently, as evidenced by this Sam Monson. Have this guy and that guy, the other guy, and oh my God, we cannot forget Odell Beckham. I lean toward Light, though I agree with Steve, some of it has the whiff of manufacturing. Look at Lavonnie David. That's been a pet peeve of mine for years.
David's a better case of disrespect because he can't make a Pro Bowl. Yeah. Never mind, all pro. You know what I think really sparked this stuff? It might really just be simply Peter King picking him or somebody picking him to win 2 or 3 games last year. I think that started this whole thing.
Yeah, I think Peter King did, but so did Connor Orr. Of course, we all saw the video clip of Jason Light confronting Connor Orr at the combine, and Orr kind of like freaked out. He's like, hey, you picked me to win 2 games. Well, I...
Yeah, I mean, that's really extreme. Really extreme to think that the Bucks are going 2-15 now. All right, they were 8-9. They still won a division, you know, coming off that season. You know, got killed in the playoff game. We understand that. We all saw it. But they weren't, you know, then to say you're going to go 2-15, you got to reserve that for, you know, the Panthers of the world. You can't say that. By the way, Steve, and you love to do your smooth segue, so I'm going to do one. Steve, I saw Antoine Winfield, I believe it was on Monday. Lee, you were there. Jason Light proudly sitting at the table, as he should. He drafted him. Hell of a draft pick. It's going to go down as one of the great light draft picks, Antoine Winfield Jr. And what I want to say is, and Steve, just to amplify what I said last week on our podcast about I'm not worried at all about the money going to Winfield's head. Steve, I think this guy's a very rare bird. I'm not even talking about his production. I'm talking about the way he carries himself. And Lee knows exactly what I'm talking about. We see him all the time during the season in the locker room. Lee, I've never seen a more accommodating guy. I mean, Tristan Wirfs is right there with him. But This guy is rare in terms of his attitude, love for the game, which Light really stresses a lot, and they've done very well in that regard. This is the poster child, Lee. This guy. Antoine Winfield. He looks like he's never had a bad day in his life, Lee.
Look at that smile. He always had that smile.
So, Steve, we talk about that Godwin and Evans are the anti-diva wide receivers, and they are. You know, I don't know if it's an accident, the Bucs got lucky with that, or it's part of the scouting process. But Lee, Winfield, he's one of a kind, this guy.
I wrote pretty much how it's been uncanny, the guys that Light has drafted, and there's been virtually, not completely, virtually no drama. Yep. Free agency has been not draft picks. I mean, it's uncanny. All the guys, you look at his draft history, almost every one of them are good guys. Almost every one of them.
Yeah, I can see it, Lee. I can see it. They don't all make it. You know, they don't make it.
Exactly. Well, they don't all make it, but, you know, some are good, some are not. But last year we had a little bit of drama, and it really didn't come from the player. It came from someone outside the locker room. And that was just a little bit. And, well, I mean, Devin White, sure. And they waved goodbye to him. So, but
yeah,
most of the guys like drafts, they're really good guys. I don't know what kind of formula, for lack of a better word, he uses, but he generally gets good guys.
Well, they've gotten better in recent years. I mean, it didn't start out that way, which is fine. I mean, he's supposed to get better, you know, from ASJ to I think if they thought Jameis was going to do what he did once he became a Buccaneer, they wouldn't have drafted him. And, you know, there have been some others, but lately, or in recent years, it's been extraordinary. The Winfield thing is interesting, Ira. He's going to be a fascinating thing to look at this year. One, because this really was a career year for him in historic fashion, with the 6 forced fumbles and the 6 sacks and numbers that you just don't see. And he played every game, and he topped his, you know, he had his high interception mark at 3. The previous 2 years, he hadn't played much. And let's face it, in 2022, they moved him to nickel, and it simply did not work. And So it's a very interesting year for him. But yeah, he feels like a rare breed, but he is a rare breed. I think when you get these players, these rare players that are, you know, the son of a great player, and his father made several Pro Bowls, he's been groomed from this, you know, from the time he was 3 years old, and he loves every minute of it. And he, you know, grew up in great wealth and has, you know, had everything he needed to succeed, and he's taken advantage of it. You hope that it continues and they could have something really, really special, but I don't know. It's hard to imagine how much more he could improve, given that he seems to be maximizing everything that he can get out of his 5'9 frame already. But, you know, we watched Rondé Barber do it, so maybe they have something like that.
Pat Kerwin ranked his top safety rooms in the NFL as the Bucs number one.
Wow, I thought he might pick Baltimore, but he had the Bucs number one.
Number two.
Wow, and that's with Whitehead, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they've got an intricate formula that he goes through team by team, and they do look at the bench, guys who've had some experience at least playing some safety. And a lot of years it's tied, but the Bucs were a clear number one this year. And then the question is, can you win Super Bowls, you know, through the safety position? That's a good question.
That's right. Steve, I think you made a very good point, Steve, about Winfield's upbringing. I don't think you can separate it from not only his play, but his attitude. Steve, I think you're right. I don't know his father well. I know he was a heck of a player. And Lee, what's the best praise you can give Antoine Winfield? He had a Rondé Barber year. And Lee, I noticed that on Whitehead, well, we'll see what happens. But I think the Bucs are very, very happy. You know, it reminds me of what the Lightning just did, Lee. I know you don't follow hockey, but yeah, they had a defenseman named Ryan McDonough, Lee.
They just got him back after a couple of years, right?
And they just got him back, and they really missed him. And, you know, it was an economic move. And I guess you could say Whitehead was an economic move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody had to go.
On that vein, Ira, just so you're aware, don't get any illusions. We're not hiring Roy Cummings to get back together with you. It's not happening.
It's a heck of a safety tandem, Lee. Bowles is a former safety and a good one. He's thrilled, and he's very imaginative, Lee. How many years, Lee, have we talked about, boy, we wish the offensive coordinator was as imaginative as the defensive coordinator? And I'll give Konis a clean slate. And, Lee, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm noticing, and this happens all the time, Lee, not just in Tampa, but it happens. It's human nature, and I don't really like it, Lee, but I see a little anti-Canalis dialogue, narrative.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yeah, this guy wasn't any good. Now, your point, Lee, is very specific, and I think correct. Not very imaginative in the run schemes. That's true. But overall, you know, the numbers, Lee, suggest that he did a mediocre job. By the numbers, he was mediocre.
Individual players did really well with him, but by the numbers, the team, the offense, I should say, you're right. But individually, you know, Evans had an excellent year. Baker Mayfield, for him, had an excellent year. Rashad White established as a real weapon in the past.
You're right. You're right. Kate Otten improved. Kate Otten improved.
Yeah, he did. As an offensive unit, they were wanting. Let's put it that way.
They were wanting. And Steve, as you noticed in my column the other day, the offense was pretty darn good in the playoffs, Steve. They moved the football very well in the playoffs.
Sage, question for you. Bowles this week said Godwin looks a lot quicker, a lot lighter. And he said that the way he said it was, again, maybe given the Vea comment, maybe he's still on medication, Bowles, and is slipping up. But he said Godwin had his ACL injury a year ago. He said he was still coming back from the ACL last season, and that might be a factor. Now, that surgery was January 2022. Godwin came back 2022, and then he played last year, of course, played all 17 games, had another 1,000-yard season. Do you think Ball's mixed up the years, or did he really mean to say, you know what, Godwin was still coming back from the ACL even a second year after it, and now we've got the real guy?
Well, I don't even know, Lee, that you have to make any excuses for Chris Godwin at this point. I mean, my only criticism, and it's, you know, it's not an overwhelming criticism, I want him to score more touchdowns, Lee. That's all I ever say about Godwin. He's got 10 in the last 3 years. 10 total. I don't think that's good enough for a player of his caliber. I just don't. I don't know what's going on in the red zone, why they don't look for him, but now, Lee, I have to admit something, and maybe I'm still under the anesthetic from the hip replacement, Lee. Tell me if you're confused at all, Steve. You got to weigh in on this. I have to admit it. I'm a little confused. But I thought a year ago, going into training camp, that the word on the street was Godwin was moving to the slot. He was going to be the slot receiver. Now, it's almost like they're saying he didn't play a lot of slot last year. I'm a little confused, Lee.
Well, he didn't play a lot of slot. He played some, of course, after the social media incident, for lack of a better term. Played more slot. They put him at slot against the Packers, and he went nuts that game. I was up there, and that was the old Chris Godwin. And Bowles was bragging yesterday that, this is where he was made to play, and, you know, that kind of rhetoric. And it almost sounded like, get ready, boys. Godwin's going to have a career year. That's what, you read between the lines, that's what it sounded like Bowles was saying.
Why would anybody doubt that he's supposed to be in the slot? I don't even understand why this is a point of discussion.
Yeah, I think it is the anesthesia, Ira. They moved him outside last year, then they moved him back in when his wife freaked out. And yes, he played a little slot all the way through, but he wasn't in the same slot role. So now they're sort of letting Godwin know, so he feels more comfortable, that, hey, you're a full-time slot guy, but he'll still line up a little bit outside for sure.
Lee, is this MJ Stewart all over again? What's going on over here?
I mean, well, MJ Stewart's a borderline NFL player. Chris Godwin's a Pro Bowl receiver. Let's not get carried away here.
Why would you think that Godwin's not a slot receiver? I don't understand.
Canales wanted to play him outside. Now, why he wanted to do that, even though he had success inside, you know, I can't speak for Canales. Now, again, like Steve pointed out, when Godwin's wife squawked, they moved him back to inside, and the first game after the social media outrage was at Green Bay, and Godwin went bananas up there at slot. Godwin playing the slot was not broken, but, you know, I'm not paid seven figures to draw plays.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
Sage, a few quick ones for you, but again, a reminder, Bill Curry Ford, family owned, that Curry name means something. BillCurryFord.com, start shopping now. And June 1st kicks off hurricane season. That means Florida's Elite Restoration. .com, and their phone number needs to be on your refrigerator, just like it is on Ira's at Shea Kaufman there in Newport Richey. All right, the quick one, Ira, I got to ask you this because I've been sort of studying Liam Cohen quite a bit, watching old interviews, watching all kinds of things to try to get a sense of what he's really going to do and who he really is. And he loves that Sean McVay tree. He's the same age as McVay. They're good buddies. You talk to McVay personally about Cohen when you guys couldn't stop embracing each other at the owners' meetings. It was, I still can't believe some of the things that I see at these meetings here. But bottom line, they don't play starters in preseason in Los Angeles, and it's worked. They did a little bit last year because they had so many young players. They had to sort of see some guys win positions, but that's the Rams. Ever since McVay has arrived, and he's already a legend, Ira, you know, he's well on the Hall of Fame track at 38 years old, what he's already accomplished before most guys have ever been a head coach. They don't play preseason starters. They do not play key backups. And I'm wondering, Ira, you think Cohen is going up to Bowles and saying, look, we don't need to play these guys. It's my job on the line here with this offense. They're ready. I don't like the risk of injury. You think that might leak over into Bowles a little bit?
I absolutely do. I think Bowles, unless it's something major, Lee, I think he's going to be very hesitant to overrule Liam Cohn. He picked him, Lee. He picked him. He could have picked other people. He picked Cohn. Cohn wasn't even in the NFL last year. He picked Cohn. Lee, you're not going to do that and pick a guy
to run your offense and then try to micromanage them. And I think Steve's right about Cone being part of the McVay tree. And I think he's going to adopt McVay's attitudes in quite a few areas. And I don't think Bowles is going to overrule him. I don't think it's a big enough deal for the Glazers to step in. Light's going to let him do what he wants. I don't think you're going to – Lee, it's not like we've seen a lot of Bucs starters in the preseason anyway. And now you're going to see less.
I try not to remember preseason games. Preseason is the scourge of the Western world. I saw that there's only one home preseason game, and that's when you have your Amazon truck drivers and your the something geek from Best Buy, Geek Squad, and those guys are playing, and I won't pay any attention.
There's another big factor in this regard on this issue. Steve, it looks like they're going to scrimmage two different teams, Steve, in the preseason, and I think Cone will use that. If there's any pushback from Bowles, and I don't think there will be, in terms of, hey, we got to look at these guys, got to get them some action. I think in some ways, I think you can determine more from a scrimmage than some of these games, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Universally, yeah, you hear coaches say they get much more out of these scrimmages than these preseason debacles.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It'll be an interesting power play to look at. We'll ask Cohen what he really thinks about this, but I would not be shocked if Baker Mayfield does not play in the preseason, and a lot of fans might be freaked out by that, but that's how it's been done in Los Angeles with great success. Between those scrimmages you talk about, Ira, we just may not see him, which if you're buying a ticket to a preseason game, you're not going to like it, but you know, you might want to get used to it. Ira, Tristan Wirfs, he has a guaranteed deal for $21 million this year, but it's his fifth year of his contract, and he's going to make that $21 million. He's been working out at $1, but he put it out there through his people, and Todd Bowles acknowledged it. He's not coming to OTAs until he gets a contract extension, and we don't even know if that will go through training camp. So what do you think?
I'll tell you what I think right now. My concern level is close to zero. Close to zero. And by the way, this is not in any way, Lee, in any way, close to a Devin White situation. For a couple of reasons. Lee, they wanted to see more out of Devin White. They don't need to see square one more out of Tristan Wirfs. Not one iota. Is he as good on the left side as he is on the right side? I think he will be. He wasn't last year, but I think he'll get there. He's too good. He's too good a player. Lee, I got to trust Light and his henchman Greenberg on this one, Lee. I do. There's no reason they don't want Tristan Wirfs to be a Buccaneer for life. There's no question in their minds, Lee. And there was a lot of question about that with Devin White. So, Lee, I think it's going to get done. I don't know when. If he misses OTAs, so be it. Lee, I got no concern about the Tristan Wirfs situation.
I may be less concerned than you, Ira, believe it or not. Close to zero. I pretty much echo what you say, and I can't blame Wirfs. And I remember Ian Beckles, before last season was over with on his podcast, he was hollering about, if I'm Tristan Wirfs' agent, there is no way that kid is stepping on a practice field until I get a new contract. No way. And you know what? I don't blame Wirfs. He saw what happened to Ryan Jensen in underwear football practice. Who knows how many millions of dollars got flushed down the toilet that day. Wirfs, my goodness, if the same thing happened to Wirfs, what would he lose? $100 million, Ira?
Lee, Ira, you don't have a problem if he sits out, if they don't get this done, if he sits out training camp?
No. You're talking about one of the best stand-up guys there is. He's a quality person. He's a quality player. He's one of the best players there is. He's working out at $1. He's just not going on the practice field. He regularly is just working out there.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's not like he's trying to, you know, it's not like he's playing Operation Shutdown. He's apparently involved in their meetings. He's working out. He's doing everything they want him to do, except he's not walking out on the practice field. And I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame him one bit. So I have no issue. I think everything will be fine. If there's any guy to worry about, he's not the one. The only concern there would be, and this is like almost zero, the only concern is I'm sure Kevin Carberry, the new offensive line coach, has some different wrinkles in what he wants to do, but I'm also sure it's not something Wirfs can't pick up relatively easy.
He's one of the faces of the franchise, Steve. He is, and that's not easy to say for an offensive lineman. He might have been made available more than any other Buccaneer Lee in the locker room last year. You remember that. If he wasn't 1, he was 1A. And Steve, bottom line, Light has earned our trust at this point about these contract situations.
We all saw the video of when the first round pick came into $1, Barton. And the very first player to reach out to him and say, hey, welcome, glad you're here, he came straight from the waiting room, Tristan Wirfs.
It'll happen.
Well, Sage, I don't know how they get around after paying Winfield top defensive back in the league, after handing him that contract and saying we're happy to do it. I don't know how Tristan Wirfs isn't saying, well, you made him the top DB in the league. I should be the top paid offensive lineman in the league. I want $28.5 million passing Sewell of the Lions. I don't know how they're going to say no to that. They've almost backed themselves into a corner.
I understand the negotiations could be a little dicey. Is he better than Sewell? I don't know that. I mean, it's close. It's damn close. Trent Williams, been around forever. He deserves his money. But Wirfs is in the conversation, Steve. I understand it.
All right, Sage. Just got to ask. Got to ask.
I know. What's expensive now when it comes to player contracts in 2 years will be cheap.
He's a rare bird just like Winfield. Same thing, Wirfs.
All right, Sage, look, you got anything else we should think here? You think Wirfs signing a deal early is going to get in Chris Godwin's craw? Because he's in his contract year 2, and he's a valuable guy. He's got 3 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. You think he's saying, hey, what about me?
No, he's not. He's not a top 15, let alone top 5, like Wirfs is. He's not at that stature in terms of the league.
I don't care care if he's at the stature or not. Do you think Chris Godwin thinks he's in that stature. It's all about what Godwin thinks.
Well, if you ask me if they're going to give Godwin a big extension before the season, the answer is I don't think so. If you ask me about Wirfs, I would say if I was a betting man, Wirfs will be taken care of.
You think Chris Godwin's little sister goes out on Twitter and freaks out if he doesn't get a deal?
I wouldn't be surprised. Put him in the slot and let him put his numbers up. And Lee, whether it's the Bucks or whatever, he's going to be well compensated.
Yeah, he's going to make money next year. It may not be the Bucks, but it'll be somebody. Real quick, I want to be above board here. You know, you said I was at the Winfield press conference. I was not. I didn't know anything about it. The email got lost in the wash. You've been there. Steve's been there.
All right, take that out, Steve.
No worries. No worries. Ira, do you have a proper goodbye to the good folks of Tampa Bay?
Well, proper goodbye. I'm starting to think my fledgling tennis career, Steve, which I haven't even hit my peak. It's possible it's over, Steve. I don't want to think that, but I mean, I got to get out there and I got to be flexible, Steve. I got to get the drop shots. I'm very vulnerable to those short balls. I can't get them, Steve. I'm hanging around the baseline and they're giving me the drop shot. I can't get it, Steve. So I'm thinking about it. I might have to do a Vita Vea on steroids and I might have to drop 80. Forget about 15. Might have to drop 80.
Well, it's a little early, Iris, and worst case, you can always move into the 80 and under division and play some older guys. You'll be all right.
Thanks, buddy.